Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Flair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Second half. A little bit early. Second half of the program begins right now. Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star is with us. Brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35, and Santa Fe. Voted the number one Buick dealer in the country. The number one volume GM dealer here in the metro area. It's Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe. Online at robertbrogdon.com, where I bought my 6 vehicles in county. Yeah, Pete brought me that book. You like that?
I do like that.
It's bigger than the Bible.
Very, very bigger than the old baseball encyclopedia. Do you remember how thick that thing
used
to be?
Yes, I do. I have read about a 500 or 600-page book, the most recent one on Ted Williams. This thing, I believe, is some 3,800 pages. It looks like it. It looks like it's in the neighborhood of 800.
Not enough pictures for me.
There are pictures, but I don't think they count towards the page count. See, that's 440. Yeah, they don't count towards the page count. 784.
So bedtime reading, is this by the on your nightstand?
No, I have kids, Blair. They're wadded up Kleenexes and
I remember those.
And crap, just a sundries of crap. Well, that's what's on my nightstand, you know. So yeah, you know.
Yep.
No room for a book. No room for a book, my friend.
No, 10 you years know? Or so and it'll clean out a little
back pills and, you know, a combination of kid and old fart. That's what you got, you
and the,
know?
And the remote, maybe?
A remote, yeah. Oh, damn, it's clear over there on the other side of the bed. Well, who needs to watch TV, really?
Honey.
Call your kids. Get out of there. Reach over there and hand me that remote. Are you kidding me, Dad? I'm not kidding. You're already here. Stop crying about it. Let's go. Hand me the remote. Just toss it over here. Yeah, that's how it works in my house, Blair. So, you've been there and done that.
Been there, done that. Had the kids fetch me the remote, absolutely.
Yes.
Didn't want to get out of bed to get it.
That's why else do you have kids,
right.
Really? I mean, isn't that what it is?
That's exactly
professional
right.
Remote fetchers when it's all said and done, right? Okay.
Now we strap it to the pet and call the pet.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Ah, at least you've trained your animals, Blair. I'm proud of you. All right, let's talk a little bit about Les Miles firing his offensive coordinator and losing his running back.
Yep, all in a matter of days.
Yes, the Khalil Herbert thing, I think some rumblings were coming out before they finally did announce it and confirm that it was official. But
odd that it happened on – he was on the team playing and went to TCU with him. It happened that Friday night,
yeah.
the eve of game number 5, which, of course, is the point of no return for a redshirt season.
Yeah, and they had, as they always do on the Border Patrol, Gary Barnett this morning, and he was talking about it, and he seemed quite concerned that he was making a change in offensive coordinator. I'm not as concerned, but should I be? I get that his first choice, like to me where this isn't as big a deal is because he lost his first choice before he ever really got going.
Right.
Because the guy got a head coaching job. I mean, that to me said that Chip Lindsey was a pretty good hire.
Exactly.
When they reach out and grab him. So then you're kind of scrambling. You're already scrambling always when you're putting together a staff as opposed to just like, oh, here's a really good guy. Let's grab him now one at a time as the years progress. But I am not as concerned, but should I be? That because Gary Barnett, I think, is fantastic, and so I absolutely listen to what he has to say.
Well, I totally respect and get Gary Barnett's perspective on this because, I mean, a successful head coach and he needs to be listened to on this. But I think he, you know, what he doesn't have is the advantage of just being here and following the program as closely as, you know, as you and I do. They hired Koenig because they lost Chip Lindsey, and he had to hire somebody to become the offensive coordinator. I think he turned to a guy he knew, a guy who had done the job in many many different places over the years, and would pretty much just kind of carry out what Les Miles wanted. And after five games, I guess. And including one really good one at Boston College where they ran up a bunch of points and did well. It wasn't good enough. And to be honest with you, I think it's a positive sign that he was willing to make a change at midstream, that he decided this wasn't good enough, what they were doing offensively. I went to their game Saturday, and, you know, they put, you know, three touchdowns on Oklahoma. Now, two of them came in fourth quarter after it was – you know, well decided, but Oklahoma didn't want, they had starters out there. They didn't want the Kansas tacking on touchdowns. So it wasn't what Les Miles wanted. They bring in Dearmond, I think is how he pronounces his name, Brent Dearmond. And I've heard nothing but good things about him. Analytical guy, young guy. You know, the idea is that Kansas will play more to the strengths of their roster now. I'm really interested to see what the offense is going to look like and what subtle changes are going to be made. You can't overhaul the whole thing, but you can make some subtle changes. And Kansas has some decent pieces on offense. The wide receivers are pretty good, and even though they lost Herbert, they still have Puka Williams, and Les Miles is convinced that he's got his quarterback in Carter Stanley. So I think Kansas believes they have some pieces, and now they've got kind of a young, fresh approach to the offense. Maybe when we get to the end of the season, we'll think, well, why wasn't this done earlier? Why didn't they start the season with this guy? But he was on staff. I've heard nothing but good things about him, and the reviews have been pretty good.
You're never going to tell a head coach if he wants to fire his offensive coordinator, you can't fire your offensive coordinator. Right? I mean, so once he goes to – the only way you do that is if you decide, I'm going to fire my coach and I'm going to keep my offensive coordinator.
Right, right.
So if that's the direction he wants to go, you're all in with Les Miles. That's what he has to do. Brent Dearmond is – everyone at KU seems to think – this is like kind of where I sit with the – you know, first year, everything is somebody else's fault. Right, they want to believe you're going to make it better because they've spent the last 2 years at least, probably any school, saying what was going on sucked, and they don't want to look foolish by being like, "Well, this is bad too."
Well, especially at programs that changed the coach because he was losing, not because they lost the coach to a better job or
right.
the NFL.
Right, right, right.
But a place like Kansas.
So I mean, from that standpoint, I get where the fans, that they seem to think, well, Dearman's the guy. He was the guy who really came up with the game plan against Boston College.
I heard that.
And I've heard it a lot. I don't know if it's true. I have no idea if it's true. I certainly have less idea that it's not. Mm-hmm. I would tend to believe it just because of where I'm hearing it from. But again, the proof will be in the pudding. You know, what do you do next? You've got a bye week, and then you got to go down to Texas. Is that really the spot, you know, you want to –
Probably not, but when you're Kansas, there is no good spot for this. There are some spots that are better than others, but no good ones. And maybe they'll get lucky and catch Texas off of a high of beating Oklahoma or something, and they'll catch a hungover Texas maybe. And of course, if Oklahoma smokes them, they'll get a motivated Texas next week. So there is no good spot.
I don't know. The next week against Texas Tech seems better to me.
Well. But this week gives gives them an extra week.
Yeah, that's true.
Doing it on the off week gives them the extra week. And
well, I think once you reach a point that this isn't my guy, you fire him. That's it. Like once, you know, if you've been thinking about it for 2 weeks, you should have fired him 2 weeks ago.
Probably so.
I'm in no way going to nitpick when he did it. The thing to nitpick and to complain about is that he had to fire his offensive coordinator.
Is that he did it. Right.
Yeah,
is that it happened.
That's where it is. I'd like to believe it's not going to be doom and gloom. I've seen enough. you know, the crafty little onside kick against West Virginia that I still can't understand how it didn't go their way. I know the rule. I've heard the rule. I don't think they violated the rule. I thought that was a crafty move. Just the whole game plan against Boston College, you know, I thought was, you know, impressive. I've seen enough out of Les Miles to think, okay, you know, he can do some things because this isn't just out-athleting him. Like, well, that's what we did on offense at LSU. Well, that's not what they're doing now because that is absolutely not the case. So I've seen enough to be encouraged by Les Miles. I mean, there's certainly nothing that's occurred with Kansas so far that you go, well, boy, this is doomed.
Well,
I'm not convinced he's going to win a Big 12 championship yet, but I certainly have seen enough to keep pressing on and say, okay, let's go.
This is the move that a coach makes when he's in the fourth year of a 5-year deal and he doesn't have an extension yet. It's a, you know, smacks of some kind of desperation. I kind of like the Les doing it in his first year, seeing that there's an issue,
sure,
seeing that there's a solution to the problem that he perceives and taking action on that. So, does this mean Kansas is going to win another game or two? I don't know. I don't think it changes. I don't think it changes my outlook on Kansas for the rest of the season. But we need to see the tweaks that are made in the offense and the response that, you know, Stanley and Williams and the wide receivers, Parchment and those guys have are going to make in this new offense. But again, I salute him for doing it. And I don't know if Les did this at LSU. I don't know if he fired a coordinator early in a season or before midseason at LSU. I don't remember if he did that. But it just seems like an SEC kind of thing to do.
I think the real test is going to be like, you know, the first bad signs I thought for, man, I can't believe, David Beatty. I was going to say I can't even remember his name. It took me a second. The first bad sign I saw for David Beatty was when you see guys making lateral moves.
Coaches, you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's not what's happening here. He fired him, right?
Right.
But come this offseason, we're going to find out.
Well, and then the guy he hired to be the original offensive coordinator took a head coaching job. So again,
right.
No,
absolutely. But, I mean, come this offseason, yeah, we get our first.
Yeah, yes.
Because I've always said, year one, everything's David Beatty's fault. It's the last guy's fault for everything that goes wrong. You can only have positive signs. You get to dump everything. Well, unless you take over a national championship contender it's gone to hell in a handbasket. But in these kind of, hey, I'm taking over for a guy who got fired, right?
Yep.
Then it's all his fault. And then you got to start showing signs of progress in year two. And what you can't see is, listen, if he's brooming this guy and Dearman comes and they win a game or two here the rest of the way and, you know, show some signs of offense here and there, as long as Dearman then doesn't take the Miami of Ohio OC job.
Oh, yes.
You know,
that would be a problem.
The Oregon State right. OC job.
Yeah, with the assistant head coach title or something that bumps him up. No, you're right. That would be.
Because Beatty started having some of those. Guys were leaving for, like that job's not better. Where's he?
Right.
Like, he's getting out. He's like, this ain't going to work. I'm getting out.
I want to see I want to see Carter Stanley's game go up a little bit. He had some decent moments against Oklahoma, and he's had some decent moments during the season. But Kansas and quarterbacks hasn't worked in a long time. And they've had – remember when they had Meacham as the offensive coordinator, the guy who made TCU's offense go? Couldn't make it go. And they just haven't been able to – they've had no identity at quarterback. They haven't had much talent there. I would hope that if nothing else comes out of this, that Carter Stanley's game improves a little bit. You know, just a little bit. We'll see what's in store. But that's, you know, when you get down to it, that's why you change offensive coordinators, right? To improve your quarterback. And I still find it interesting that Les Miles, after being so coy about the quarterback in the preseason, you know, all through spring and into the fall camp. And, you know, is it him? Is it the transfer from you know, played at Pitt? McVitie, I think, right?
Yep.
was his name. And then you heard of a freshman or another newcomer who was in the mix, and you really didn't know. And I think Carter Stanley's taken all but one or two snaps this year. So Les Miles is convinced he's the guy.
All right, let's talk about the Missouri Tigers laying a big number to Ole Miss. Are they ready to lay this kind of number?
Well, especially after losing your best defensive player, Cale Garrett. What an unfortunate injury that is. That guy is he's a beast. And then really with a little bit of unknown about the health of of your quarterback too, Kelly Bryant. So with the knee injury against Troy, it is a big number. Didn't Ole Miss smack Vanderbilt around last week?
No, Ole Miss got slapped by Alabama, but they hung what, 35 on Alabama? Because I know everything reading about Alabama was
30-something, wasn't it?
No, you know what? I'm sorry. You're right. They did slap Vanderbilt. 2 weeks ago, they lost 59-31 to Alabama. And I guess what I was reading was Alabama, did they have a bye after that? Is that what it was? Or maybe I was just reading old stories. Jeez, I don't know. Who knows? I try to read everything I can of college football. No, Alabama did have a bye. You know, they got to get ready for one of their three legitimate games so they conveniently get a bye before it. No, but 59-31, they put 31 on Alabama and then lost 30, and then won 31-6 against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and look, I know Vanderbilt's not a not a great team.
Not a good team.
Not a good. I don't know what Vandy's done this year. I don't. But
1-4.
Okay. All right. They've had some decent teams under Derek Mason. Apparently, this year is not one of them.
This is the erosion of James. That's like it's just now going south from James Franklin.
Yeah, the slow erosion of the Vanderbilt program.
He has lost 30-6 to Georgia. By the way, whoever did his schedule has done him no favors. Georgia at home, 30-6 loser. Then go to Purdue, 40-4, and they're not very good either.
No, they're
42-24 loser. Home for LSU, 66-38. Then they get a 6-point win over Northern Illinois, 24-18, and then the loss to Ole Miss. Now they've got UNLV. God, it's an Etsu down there on November 23rd.
Well, part of that is having to fill the holes in your SEC schedule because of
And they want a real SEC game to put on the SEC network early.
Every week.
Yeah, so somebody has to go early, and it was them against Georgia.
Right. So I guess I don't know how to fairly gauge Ole Miss beating Vanderbilt like that, but they're coming in off a bounce, and not the Alabama loss. It just seems, it's a double-digit spread. It's 10.5. Missouri favored this week.
That's what I'm saying, because they're like, they're just 3-3. Okay, well, they beat Arkansas 31-17. Who cares? Arkansas's not good. Southeastern Louisiana 40-29. But their losses are to good teams. They lost at Memphis 15-10. Memphis is undefeated and maybe going to end up in a BCS bowl game because of being the highest ranked non-power five. They lost to Cal 28-20. Cal's got a win against USC and Washington?
I think, Cal's been surprisingly good.
Yeah, and then they hung 31 on Alabama. Now they gave up 59, but they still put 31. And Alabama's defense, they're more of an offensive team than they are a defensive team this year. Just that's how it's worked out scheduling-wise. But, I don't...
Well, we certainly think of Ole Miss, especially in the last decade or so, having the ability to recruit athletes that Missouri doesn't get. I would imagine if we look
particularly
back,
under Hugh Freeze when they were paying all their bills
and announcing him at the NFL draft, how they were.
Right.
But I would imagine if we look back of 10 years worth of rivals' final top 100 teams or the team rankings, that Ole Miss would finish ahead of Missouri in just about every one of them, or maybe in the history of Missouri and the SEC, that Ole Miss recruiting would finish ahead of Missouri and just about every one of them, just because they're closer to the higher concentration of really good athletes, and I really do think Missouri's the better team this year, and I would say the better program. So, still having said that, 10.5 seems pretty heavy to me.
Well, it did. I agree. Listen, if they do it though, part of me says, okay, Missouri's way better. Because Vegas is putting a really big number out there, and I heard everybody take Mizzou, and I'm like, I think nationally, everyone thinks Ole Miss stinks. I don't think they're as bad as people think. And Mizzou did lose to Wyoming. Now I'm perfectly willing to just throw that out as a bad first game, which happens, right, to teams. But I'm just if Missouri loses, I don't think it's the end of the world. And they're going to freak out because Missouri fans have seen themselves be a double-digit dog, and they will have lost twice, a double-digit favorite, and they will have lost twice as a double-digit favorite. And I actually don't think Ole Miss is getting the credit for the caliber of team they are.
I think if Missouri loses this game, then you recalibrate Mizzou in terms of victory total. Now they're at the 6-7 level instead. Then you kind of give them no chance against Florida and Georgia. and you take your chances with Kentucky on the road, and let's assume there's no bowl ban for Missouri. Then you go from potentially a 10-win New Year's Day bowl game to 6 or 7, and you're looking at, you know, something on, you know, sometime between Christmas and New Year's, if Missouri was eligible for a bowl game.
Missouri is not in the top 25, yet they're laying 10.5 to Ole Miss. Now, I have them at 17. I think they're good.
Are they first team out?
No, they're 27.
27, okay.
It goes down at the bottom. The bottom five are, and then this is what I don't like about the other pollsters who don't get it like I do, you know, right? Because only I get it. Only my rankings are good. SMU.
Well, I tell you what, let me put this out there, my friend, because next Thursday you and I can have a conversation about being AP voters.
That's right, because you're moving in.
Yes, the shift man has
moved on.
And then they needed some
Vet. They needed somebody who knew what the hell they were doing.
And
what do you have to do? Do you have to take over his poll, or is it just gonna be movement?
It's just whatever I think. I think my big objective is to remember to do it Sunday morning.
Well, I can hit you with my reminders that hit me if you'd
okay,
like.
Do you get it? So I'm in store for the reminders.
Yeah, if you want, I can send it over there. I can send it to you. Yeah, I've got Missouri at 17, so
would be in my top 25. I think Missouri is one of the best 25 teams in the country.
But SMU at 21, Memphis at 23.
SMU's got the really good win over TCU.
Is that a really good win anymore? And then they needed what, triple overtime to get by Tulsa.
Yeah, they were down,
which is a bit of a letdown week.
Had to rally big to get that.
Yeah, and then Memphis, which I think is a good team.
I do too. I'm bullish on Memphis.
But Cincinnati's in there at 4-1 because they beat UCF, and Missouri's not in there at 4-1 or 5-1, whatever they are.
Do we think Missouri's best win is South Carolina?
Yeah, their wins aren't that good. To me, it comes down to what you have before the year.
Yeah, which gives me kind of a little bit of an advantage, doesn't it? I mean, to start the thing after, you know, at midseason.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's what the college football playoff poll does. They don't start it until 1st of November.
No, it does. I just, for me, it's like, listen, I thought Missouri was good. I know first games can be landmines. And so I'm not going to hugely punish Missouri for losing to Wyoming. They're punished. Because it had, you know, had they not lost that, they'd probably be like 12. But they're making their way back up. Now, listen, lose to Ole Miss, and they're out.
Yeah,
I mean, they're
going
to fall down to like 40 in my poll, because it's going to validate the loss to Wyoming.
Right, which I think right now is an aberration.
That's where I tend to be as well, the way they're playing defense.
Yes.
That's what we haven't seen from them. But you brought up Kelly Bryant, and if he's not
healthy.
If he's hobbling, and they're
down Cale Garrett, who was – having an All-America type.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk about Chris Klieman and the K-State Wildcats, talk about the college football playoffs as well. I'd like to get to Coach K and some of the other coaches that are chiming in on this pay-for-play, if we can. It's coming up here in the program. Blair Kirkhoff's with us, brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe.
A new way to end your day. The program, now from 2 to 6. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star is with us. Talking some college football here. We'll talk about the Cats real quick. Boy, the momentum really died fast. And I think this TCU game is a big one for them for this year, not overall for the program, because I mean, it might be overall for the program. I don't know. I really don't think so. I think if they're going to win 6 or 7 games, they probably need to take this one down.
For sure.
As I look across the schedule, I mean, we've got 3 if they're to get to between TCU. I don't think they're beating Oklahoma. TCU at Kansas. I don't think they're winning at Texas. West Virginia at Tech and versus Iowa State. Those are 5 games. Now, you win them all, you're gonna have 8 wins, but I think you're more likely to go 3-2 or 2-3.
The things that have bothered Kansas State in these last couple of games are issues that we talked about in the preseason that they seem to have resolved once the season started. The running game, for instance. I mean, they, you know, who was going to be the running back? Didn't have returning, you know, a veteran presence there, but they had the, you know, they had the transfers, the Ball State kid, the Carolina kid, and it seemed to be resolved in the, you know, in the non-conference part of the schedule, including the Mississippi State win. But they haven't been able to run the ball the last couple weeks and, or the last couple games. And I tell you what, if you're in the Big 12, I don't care what your offensive philosophy is. If you're getting, you're putting up 12 and 13 points, you're not going to win it. You're not going to beat anybody in this conference doing that. And that's what they've done against Oklahoma State and Baylor. Look, we're by the way, where's Baylor in your top 25?
They're in there. Baylor is, I've got Baylor at 20.
Okay. Baylor, as we were trying to figure out the Big 12 underneath Oklahoma, for me, Texas, Iowa State and Texas, I didn't know what to do with, you know, Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor, a couple others, Texas Tech. Well, Baylor is becoming the team that, you know, seems to be veteran quarterback, good, as usual, good offensive skill position people. Baylor just may be the, you know, somewhere they could finish as high as second in this league.
I am, when they went out, everyone was kind of joking. Was it before the Iowa State game that they gave the extension, or was it right after the Iowa State game that they gave the extensions to Mac Rhodes?
It was right around there. It wrote, and
I think it was right after.
And
it was
Matt
like,
Rhule,
okay, we're
the coach
and Matt Rhule,
game.
Yeah, and gave him to both. And listen, I've said all along, the guy's doing something right if the NFL is interviewing him, because what he's been able to accomplish, albeit in a short time, I'm not knocking what he's done because he took over a program in a really bad spot. But Rhule's records at Baylor and even at Temple, where he did find turnaround jobs.
He did.
But those records alone don't say interview for the Jet job.
Right.
Right? Like, lots of guys have done that. It's like, usually you got to then go to a BCS game. And maybe he was going to take Temple there, right, as
maybe
the best.
Have one of those undefeated seasons.
Right, or even one loss and be the highest non-Power right. 5 team that gets the automatic bid. You know, maybe that was coming had he stayed at Temple. And maybe a conference championship is coming at Baylor. He just hasn't got there yet. But so for him to be getting that, it just says to me, boy, this guy's really well-respected. He's doing something really right. And we're seeing that come together. So from a K-State standpoint, and I am interested in talking a little bit more about Baylor, but from a K-State standpoint, I don't not climbing at all for that game, because I think it turns out we've all underestimated Baylor.
We have. My disappointment for Kansas State.
And if he beats TCU, you get back to thinking you're that 6-8 win team that K-State yeah. fans thought they were. And it just, hey, Baylor's better than we thought. TCU's not quite as good as we thought, maybe. And so now we're still right there fighting. Maybe we can be fifth. You know, catch that spot where right. we're in the top half. But if you lose to TCU, then it's like what I read, you know, where, hey, 18 guys transferred in the, or 30 guys transferred in the last 18 months, and, you know, the recruiting hasn't been ranked high. You know, those things are starting to come out, and they're all true. They're not sour grapes, and they're not cover fire. They're true, and it's just the reality is setting in, okay, we can't overcome that.
The TCU game is important for this
reason. At least now we can't overcome
right. it. Right. No, you're right. And it's important for this reason as well, is that TCU doesn't have an established quarterback. They don't kind of know what they're doing at quarterback, and K-State supposedly does with Skylar Thompson. It's a strength for what for the Wildcats. If they were to lose to TCU, then I don't know if they can get to six and bowl eligibility, which for me was the thought going into the season. Just get to a bowl game. Usually with Kansas State, when they're picked low under Snyder, when they were picked low, I just always believed, you know, you just can't trust returning Letterman and all the other measures for college football projections, because Bill Snyder would coach his team up. And, you know, I thought with this team, with Kansas State, when they were picked ninth in Klieman's first year, I said, that seems about right. It's, you got to pick them somewhere, and their losses were pretty great. Then he shows really well in the non-conference and goes to Mississippi State and wins. That is a heck of a win, maybe one of the best wins for the league, non-conference wins for the league this year. So I understand where people might have the excitement and the enthusiasm was really, really high after that game. Well, now reality seems to be setting in some for Kansas State, and there were some issues with this team going into the season, and wide receiver wasn't a, you know, they didn't have stars at wide receiver. They lost guys.
And then they had to kick a kid out. That was going to be their number one wideout.
That's right, the Ryzen kid, and they lost Isaiah Zuber from last year. I still think that this is a bowl team. Get to a bowl game this year. Get the extra month of practice. Take a step, even if it's just a small step. Take a step from last year to this year, and then use that as a launching point for your recruiting, for your player development, for retaining kids that are already in your program. I think that's – I hate to put too much on one game, but this is the type of opponent I think Kansas State should beat.
I do too. On the TCU, and then I'll double back to Baylor, Gary Patterson – you know, I said when TCU came over and everyone, you know, when the, what was it, A&M in Missouri when they left is when TCU came in and everyone's like, oh, TCU, they're better. The league got better. I'm like, listen, there's a big difference between going 11-1 in a Mountain West and going 11-1 in the Big 12. And, you know, Gary Patterson has had 11 wins as a member of the Big 12 three times. But he's also gone, this is his record. Let's just be clear on where TCU is in the Big 12. 7-6, 4-8, 12-1, 11-2, 6-7, 11-3, 7-6, and right now they're 3-2. So they had 11 wins in 3 of 4 years. Previous to that, when they're, you know, they won 7-4, and last year they won 7. K-State wins this and TCU is sitting at 3-3, 1-2 in the league. I think what we're finding out is, yeah, you know, they like Bill Snyder, took advantage of Texas being down or OU being down. TCU was the great benefactor of Texas being down.
Baylor, too, I think.
Yeah.
Both of those programs filled the void when Texas was going through its coaching issues and we were at the end of the Bob Stoops era for Oklahoma. You know, they shared the championship, you know, famously shared that championship in 14, the first year of the college football playoff. And I don't know. I think TCU has kind of outpunched its weight.
I definitely think so.
And
I definitely think so. I think Gary Patterson. I'm not trying to run Gary Patterson down. Listen. If he goes 6-7 this year, or 5-7, and doesn't make a bowl, and then does that again, they're going to fire him, and then they're going to end up being really disappointed because you can't even pack a 45,000 seat stadium.
Right. I mean, you sometimes can't come close to packing.
Right, for good games. I mean, Texas TCU, we had no problem getting tickets.
Yeah.
None for Texas TCU 2 years ago. And so, you know, like there just isn't so many of their alumni are from somewhere else. I mean, who doesn't know five people whose kids or the kids themselves go to TCU from here?
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. I guarantee you their alumni base – or not their student population in this metro area is larger than you would expect it to be.
Yeah,
it's just a small
private university.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, listen, Gary Patterson's at K State. He needs to win that because then he's got Texas at home, at Oklahoma State, Baylor, at Tech, at OU, West Virginia. I mean, this could get ugly fast for the Frogs.
It could, man, but he's he's a coach, if they haven't done it already, you build a statue for. I mean, he's
I think you're right.
20 years there or so. What is he? What's his?
He has been there since 05. Since 01.
01. So 18 years.
No. Let me 2000. I'm sorry. I have to keep going back because it's like, oh no. Then they were in the Mountain West.
Right.
Then they were in the Conference USA.
Right.
Then they were in the WAC.
They were in the Big East for 10 minutes.
He has coached in 4 conferences.
And.
That's got to be a record, doesn't it? Has coached the same school in 4 different leagues?
And one,
Gary Patterson.
Won 3 of them, I think.
He was 12? An interim for one game with the WAC, I assume. He was 0-1 in the WAC.
Okay.
He lost the Mobile Alabama Bowl 21-18 as a member of the WAC. He has been in a bowl game of his, full seasons, 1-18, so that'd be 19 years. No, that'd be 18 years. 18 years, he has been in a bowl game all but 2. 16 of 18 years in a bowl game.
What program, I go back to my 50,000-seat stadium thought, What program that has a 50,000-seat stadium would not take a bowl eligibility 16 out of 18 years?
I agree.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's amazing consistency. And listen, if you're right, though, if he strings together, you know, 6-6, 6-6, 5-7, that'll get stale for the fans. Money will start to dry up. Alumni will start saying, come on, we can do better than this, especially if Baylor really passes him by. Texas gets good if Tech passes them by, and it looks like they're the worst of the Texas schools in the Big 12. They'll demand change at TCU. But, man, TCU actually has a national championship in their history back in, like, 37 or 38. So they can put that on their on their scoreboard, you know, 1937 NCAA champion, whatever. But he's a coach that you would consider putting a statue of on your campus.
And Baylor? Is how good? They've got Tech at home. If they lose this, then they're not that great.
Well,
but if they win that.
Tech had a great win last week against Oklahoma State, right? But I think Baylor smokes Tech.
I think Baylor's got a chance to be sitting at 9-0, and us talking about them at like 9 or 10. Like, those undefeated teams start rocketing up the charts, although they're not going to have a signature win. Texas Tech at Oklahoma State, which I think will be a good win. It's already a game on Fox, so it's going to get some primetime attention. Then a 7 o'clock game on Thursday night against West Virginia, I think. October 31st is Halloween at Thursday night?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
October 31st against West Virginia, so they'll get exposure there. Then they go to TCU, but then it's the OU and Texas back-to-back, but at Baylor,
and
unless one of those is a neutral field that I don't know about.
I don't think so. So both of, I didn't realize they played both of them at home. I'll tell you, that's somebody to keep an eye. They didn't have a good non-conference opponent this year.
It smells 10-2-ish.
It does. It does. And that, and maybe you know, if Oklahoma, so let's say Oklahoma runs a table and gets into the playoff, then Baylor could be your you know, could finish second.
Cotton Bowl, or
well, the Sugar Bowl. The Big 12 team that's in the college football playoff, the second team will go to the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, a big money bowl game. So that could happen. That could happen. But, again, Baylor didn't – they don't have a signature victory yet, right? The Iowa State win was really, really good. But they didn't play anybody in the non-conference. So they haven't beaten a ranked team unless Iowa State was ranked. Was Iowa State ranked when
they were not ranked at the time that they played them.
Okay. All right. Well, look, their quarterback, that Brewer kid, is really good, and – ever since Art Briles was there, you know, got there, that program has recruited and developed wide receivers as well as any program in the country. They crank out wide receivers. So that's the case this year as well. They're throwing the ball great. They've got a terrific passing offense. And Matt, the way you and I have talked about Matt Campbell, you know, with
Matt
Iowa
Rule
State,
is going to start getting that love,
yes,
too. Yeah.
Yep.
And Campbell, by the way, while they're 3-2, their losses are a 2-point loss to Baylor, and then what, a 1-point loss to Iowa?
To Iowa, which is Iowa, a little bit better than, although they lost the game to Michigan last week, and don't they have
Penn State.
State this weekend.
Penn State, they're favored against Penn State.
Oh,
we'll talk about some of the national games next with Blair Kirkhoff. He's with us here on the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we're talking to Blair Kirkhoff here in the program. Blair, let's run through a couple of the big games in college football. Blair is brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC. What? Oh, okay. He was telling me to talk about something else. I was like... I do have to ask you about Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg in the fog.
Well, I thought
your reaction.
I thought Sam Mellinger had the best thought about this when he said
that can't be true. I refuse to give Sam any credit.
In an upset, no,
neither one of the Sams. It was definitely not Mellinger or McDowell.
But Melly's thought was Snoop Dogg was the only honest participant in the whole thing. You know, the only one. The only one who didn't try to, you know, who
this is what did, I do.
That's
here
right.
I am.
What was his line that he gave to
Howard
Stern?
Yeah. You hire Snoop Dogg, you get Snoop Dogg.
That's right. That's exactly. That summed up the whole thing.
I really don't think it's a big deal, and I think Kansas made it a big deal by issuing an apology.
It's it was a big deal in the sense that there was a ton of curiosity around it. I didn't know anything about what had happened at late. I didn't cover it. And I was out to dinner with my wife, and I'm driving home, and it's about 11 o'clock, and my phone is blowing up. Not from the Star, not from national media wants to talk about it. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's just late night. Well, I get home, and I see what had happened. So you put a name, a celebrity, somebody whose name people recognize, put a little in a somewhat controversial moment and around a sporting event, it's going to get attention. So it got a ton of attention. And
do you believe that this is exactly what Kansas wanted, that this is Kansas mm-hmm. giving the middle finger to the NCAA?
No. I really honestly think that Bill Self was caught unaware of the show. And listen, I believe him on that. He probably didn't know what the Snoop Dogg show was about, nor did Jeff Long. They were caught unaware. But somebody in
marketing. I've never been to a Snoop Dogg show.
I haven't either.
And if you asked me what's going to happen at a Snoop Dogg show, I'd say I think there's going to be profanity, and I'll bet there'll be some scantily clad women.
Maybe.
Come on.
Somebody in marketing should have vetted the Snoop Dogg show and made the decision somewhere else.
I think this, yes, and I think they need to figure out what they want that to be. I think there's such a pressure to sell that out and act like, you know, I don't get it. I've told the Kansas people, hey, God bless you guys for going. I wouldn't get off my couch to go watch basketball practice. Oh, no. I don't give a flying crap if they're doing skits and dunks or what. Screw you. Maybe I'm old. No way on a Friday night am I going to drag my ass in for that. I give you guys credit because, I mean, you're monster fans.
Well,
it's impressive.
I think
nobody in Syracuse is going to watch that crap in Syracuse, I can tell you. So that's where Kansas is a better, bigger deal as a basketball
brand
program than we are. And we're pretty good.
What I think it is for Kansas is during a regular season game, students are allotted like 4,000 to 4,500 tickets, right? They're camping out. You know, it's a tough ticket for them. But for late night, it's open to all the students. So you've got 20,000 students over there, and it's a big party for them. So I'm sure that the percentage of students in that building much greater for late night than it is for a regular season game, and I think that's why it gets as much attention.
Two mistakes I think were made. One, apologizing. Whoever was upset, you should have called them back personally. If you had, 900 donors, then based upon how much money you make, the top 10 guys, Jeff calls himself. Okay, and then varying different people call and reach out to them, but you don't. They did not assess what they were going to do. They just poured gasoline on a small fire, as far as I'm concerned, and made it a big deal. The second thing is, Jeff Long needs to have a better line of communication of people under him. He needs to listen to other people, because somebody in there had to have the thought, this is not going to be what you think it is.
Well,
but no one either felt comfortable telling Jeff Long, "Don't do this."
Well, especially when the polls...
Snoop Dogg, really? I don't think you want to do this.
When the polls came off the truck, you know, it's somebody had to take them from...
That's what Curtis said. They didn't miracle themselves into the building.
They weren't in the storage room, you know, with the old indoor track equipment at Allen Fieldhouse.
So, anyway. All right. But
gave us something to talk about for a few days.
I don't think it's that big a deal. I think Kansas made a couple of mistakes. I don't think any of them are...
That's the reaction I got. I wrote about it that appeared in Monday's paper. And the reaction I got was... A lot of
it's more ha-ha.
It is. It ultimately is. But as it relates to the NCAA investigation and the hot water that KU is going to be in with the NCAA, the money gun was probably a poor image, you know, for Kansas shooting fake $100 bills. I thought that was great.
All right, we gotta go. We'll talk to you next week, Blair.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
It's nothing better than Blair laughing. Alex Gordon hit the Royals' last postseason home run at Kauffman Stadium. Who hit the first? Great food from Good Sense is yours if you know.